Now, the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for our meeting this morning are the final words there of verse number 12, 1 Kings chapter number 18. Here you have Obadiah speaking to Elijah the prophet. He says, "But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth." As one studies the life of Elijah the prophet, they will come across many other characters in connection with this great man of God, characters that are closely associated and intertwined with his ministry. And one of these is Obadiah, whom our text refers to today. Now, the Bible speaks of 13 different people by the name of Obadiah. But this Obadiah that is mentioned here in 1 Kings chapter 18 was none other than the governor of King Ahab's house. In other words, the chief steward in the royal household of Ahab at that particular time. Now, there are some Bible commentators, and they would criticize this man Obadiah for retaining his position in the house of King Ahab, and also because he was afraid to tell Ahab that he had found Elijah. But such criticism is unwarranted and unfounded. For this man Obadiah was not a weak, nor was he a cowardly, compromising follower of the Lord. That was not the case with him. But rather he was a God-fearing man. He was a man who stood for the Lord in very dark days spiritually in the land of Israel, days of great dearth and departure and apostasy from the things of God, a day when idolatry and false religion was the order of the day, so to speak, throughout the land. Yet in that day, in that situation, this man Obadiah, he lived for the Lord. And indeed, he lived for the Lord among those in particular who had no time for God whatsoever. Indeed, he has been likened unto a palm tree in the desert. You know how a palm tree stands apart from the background in the desert scene. Indeed, C.H. Spurgeon said he was a quiet believer, true and steadfast. And in our text here today, he addresses Elijah the prophet, and he says, "I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth." People, this morning, there are three things I want you just to note very plainly and simply regarding this man, Obadiah, who feared the Lord. May it be an encouragement to you as a believer as you seek to live for Christ in the world today. First of all, I want you to notice here this man, Obadiah's fear of the Lord. Look at what the end of verse number 3 says. It says, "Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." And then think of the words of our text. "But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth." And 2 in Scripture is the number of witness. And here's the witness of God Himself, God the Holy Ghost, through His sacred word regarding this man Obadiah, that he was a man who feared the Lord. And what does that mean? What does it mean to fear the Lord? One was praying in the prayer meeting this morning before the meeting about the fear of the Lord in the hearts of the people and the nation. But what does it mean to fear the Lord? What did this mean for this man Obadiah? It meant he was a man who trusted the Lord. He was a man who respected the Lord and the things of God. He was a man who reverenced the Lord and the things of God. Notice again what is said there in verse number 3, that he feared the Lord greatly. Notice that word greatly. It's important. It shows us here was a man and he was greatly zealous in the fear of God. Here was a man and he was out and out for the Lord in regard to this matter of fearing the Lord. Again, you see there from verse number 12, the words of our text, it says that he feared the Lord from his youth. Think about that, from his early days as a young man. The name Obadiah itself literally means the servant of the Lord. And what does this tell us here about Obadiah? No doubt it was his parents who gave him this name, and no doubt they had a tremendous influence for good upon his life. But it tells us here when he says, I, thy servant, fear the Lord from thy youth, that early on in his life, maybe in childhood days, maybe in early teenage years, from that point on, he trusted the Lord, he served the Lord, he followed the Lord. It's interesting to note there how he himself uses the word from. Again, that's important. In our text, he says, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. What does that tell us about him? Here was a man who needed a consistent walk with God. From his youth, he went on with God. From his youth, he feared the Lord. He served the Lord. There were no fits and starts, so to speak, about his walk with God. My, he faithfully, day by day, year by year, month by month, feared the Lord and served the Lord. Child of God, this man Obadiah is a worthy example for you and I also to follow in our lives. It has been said that a reverent fear of God is the key to faithfulness in any situation. And what is needed today in our society, what is needed today in the professing church of Christ, I tell you this, it is the fear of God. My, if we are to be faithful to the Lord in our day and generation, then we must fear the Lord. And that's the teaching of the Bible. What does it say in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7? It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As far as God is concerned, and people, that's all that matters, what God thinks. And as far as God is concerned, it's a wise thing for a man, a woman, a young person to fear the Lord. Oh, the world laughs at that. The world belittles it. The world discounts it. But God says it's a wise thing to fear the Lord. Again in Psalm 34 in the verse number 9. And the psalmist says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And that tells us really of the Lord's blessing upon those who would fear the Lord. There's blessing for them. Am I speaking to one in the meeting this morning and you're unsaved? Let me say this. If you're unsaved in our gathering, the fear of the Lord, it begins with you repenting of your sins before God and laying hold upon Christ and trusting him by faith and resting upon the merits of his sacrifice alone for salvation. That's the starting place for any man, woman, or young person in the fear of the Lord. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. If your sins are to be blotted out before God, you must repent of your sins before God. Turn from them and turn unto God and confess them to God. Indeed, Christ says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. If you are to have everlasting life in your soul, there must be faith in your heart in Christ. You must come to rest upon Christ and trust in him alone for your salvation, depending on the blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary to wash away your sins and cleanse your soul before Almighty God. Oh, I tell you this morning that the fear of the Lord, it commences with you being saved. And can I say this, that when you're saved, the fear of the Lord means you obeying the Lord. It means you living for his word. It means you living for the glory of God on a daily basis. This is how it was with Caleb. He could say, I wholly followed the Lord. He was a man who feared the Lord. This was the case with David Livingstone, that famous missionary to Africa of years gone by. After 30 years as a missionary in Africa, he wrote these words in his own diary. He said, my Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicate my whole self to thee. Accept me and grant I may finish thy work. Amen. He was a man who feared the Lord to his dying day. Oh, dear people, may you and I be those who fear the Lord. May we follow the example of this man, Obadiah. Yes, we see Obadiah's fear of the Lord. Notice something else here today. Not only his fear of the Lord, but notice Obadiah's service for the Lord. Look again at verse number 3 of 1 Kings 18. It says, "And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." You see there that Obadiah was the governor, it says there, in the house of Ahab. That really means he was the chief steward in the royal palace, the royal house of King Ahab. That's very important for us to note that. For who was Ahab? What does the Bible tell you and I about Ahab and indeed about his wife Jezebel? The Bible makes it clear that Ahab and his wife Jezebel were two of the most wicked and two of the most ungodliest of characters that you can ever read about and learn about in all of the scriptures. They hated the Lord. They hated the people of God, the worship of God, the word of God, the ways of God. Yet it was in that very situation and that very house that belonged to Ahab and Jezebel that Obadiah feared the Lord, and Obadiah, he served the Lord in that household, in such a place where the husband and wife were two of the most ungodliest of characters that you'll ever learn about and read about in all of Scripture. And you know, when I think of that, I think of young Joseph. Remember Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, sold as a slave down into Egypt. What sort of a place was Egypt? It was an ungodly, pagan, heathen nation. You read of him in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar was an ungodly man. His wife was an ungodly woman. Yet there he served the Lord. He feared the Lord. You read of him later on in the court of Pharaoh. In fact, God in his providence raised him up to the position of prime minister in the land. And Pharaoh was an ungodly man, a heathen king. Yet in that situation, what did Joseph do? He feared the Lord. He served the Lord. I think also today of Mordecai, the uncle of Queen Esther. What did he do in Persia, a heathen land? He served the Lord, we're told, at the very gate of King Ahasuerus. And that was the place of authority in the land, the place where all the dealings took place. Yet there he served the Lord. He feared the Lord. He stood for God. Then I think also of Daniel, taken as a captive down into Babylon, modern day Iraq. And what did he do there? He served the Lord. He feared the Lord. He was a witness for the Lord. Even in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar, a most ungodly man. Then if you go over to the book of Philippians chapter 4 and the verse number 22, Paul speaks there of believers and he describes them in these words. He speaks there of saints in Caesar's household. And Caesar was no friend of God. He was no friend of the gospel. He was an ungodly pagan emperor at the time, yet there were saints in his household. People there who feared the Lord, who served the Lord, who worked in that household, yet they were a witness for the Lord. Is there not a message here to you and I as believers in the meeting this morning when we think of this? Maybe I'm speaking to a believer in the meeting today, and you're the only saved person in your family or in your family circle. Maybe you're the only saved person in your workplace where you work Monday through to Friday or whatever else. Maybe you are the only saved person in your community where you live and where you reside. Maybe there's a young person here today and you're the only saved young Christian in your school class or college or university, wherever you might be. Well, Christian, take encouragement today that the Lord knows all about that. He knows all about it. And He has you there for a purpose, for a particular reason. What is that purpose? What is that reason? That you may witness for Christ in that place, in that situation, that you might let the light of the gospel shine out to others that are needy of God's salvation. Turning your Bible over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5. And look at what Christ says to you and I who are saved in verse number 16. He says, let your light, that's the light of Christ, the light of the gospel believer, let your light so shine before men, before the ungodly world where you are day by day, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. My Obadiah was a witness for the Lord. He served the Lord in his day and generation. Circumstances weren't good in the land, but that did not deter Obadiah from serving the Lord and witnessing for the Lord. Believer, you may find yourself in a difficult place. Maybe have to rub shoulders with the ungodly day by day in your workplace. God has called you to that place. He's placed you there. That's your calling in life. There you're to witness for Christ. You're to shine for the Lord. Let your light shine before men, says Christ, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's a story told of a particular woman, a believer, and she had a sign up in her kitchen where she lived. And it said, divine service here is conducted daily. And what was she saying, that message? In her home and her family. She was seeking to serve the Lord and to be a witness for the Lord. And that's how it was with Obadiah. Notice something else here about his service. We can say also that it was compassionate. Not only was it compassionate, it was very courageous. If you look at what Obadiah says there in verse number 4, what it says about him in verse 4 of the chapter 18 of 1 Kings, it says, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, a time when God's servants were being persecuted even unto death, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. That took courage. And it showed compassion. He fed them with bread and with water. He looked after them. Again, you have the same sentiments given in verse 13 as he converses with Elijah. He says, was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? You see there that a time of persecution, he sustains God's prophets in the cave. He shows courage. He shows compassion here. Believer, you think about that. Think of what the Lord says to you and I in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. It says, be strong and of a good courage. You and I are to be courageous in our service for God. Think again of what the Lord says to his servant Paul, to you and I who are saved, and Galatians 5, verse 13, he says, by love, serve one another. As Christians, you and I are to be compassionate in all of our service for God. Paul talks about the Christian in the book of Ephesians, speaking the truth with love, not with hatred or with malice or with anger, but with love and compassion, the very compassion of Christ in our hearts. You and I were to be like the hymn writer. What did the hymn writer say? I want, dear Lord, a love that feels for all. A deep, strong love that answers every call. A love like thine, a love divine, a love for high and for low. On me, dear Lord, a love like this bestow. He was asking that he might show something of the love of Christ in his life. And his testimony for God. And you think of that. You think of what the Apostle Paul says, the greatest missionary, theologian, preacher in the New Testament outside of Christ. Think of his great words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The whole chapter is all about Christian charity and Christian love. And what does Paul say in the midst of that great chapter? You read it when you go home. He says, if I have not charity, he says this, he says, I am nothing. In other words, it's all futile. It's all in vain. It's all empty. There'd be no fruit to the glory of God. This is how it was with this man, Obadiah. Notice one final thing here about Obadiah. Notice his constitution before the Lord. And when you think about his constitution, we can say that Obadiah was a man with similar passions, similar weaknesses and tendencies like you and I, like ourselves. For 1 Kings chapter 18 tells of his fear of having to to tell King Ahab that he'd found Elijah. Look at what he says in verse 7 of the chapter. It says, "And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah." Remember, him and Ahab were searching for Elijah. It went one direction, one, and went another. "And Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, 'Art thou that, my lord Elijah?' And he answered him, 'I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah was here.'" In other words, Elijah was saying, "Obadiah, you go and tell Obadiah, your lord, the one that you work for, that I am here, that you'll find me here." And look at the response of Obadiah in verse number 9. And he said, "What have I sinned? Thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me. As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my lord have not sent to seek." In other words, Ahab was searching here, there, and yonder for Elijah to slay him, to take his life. "And when they said, 'He is not here,' he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, 'Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here,' and it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee thither, I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me." There you see the weakness of this man, Obadiah. He was afraid. He was afraid that if he goes to Ahab and says, "Listen, I found Elijah," that Elijah would take his own life, that he would slay him. You see, Ahab was full of rage against Elijah, because it was Ahab who had prayed for the dearth and the drought upon the land. And Ahab was out against Elijah to slay him, to put him down, to finish him. And my, because of this, Obadiah was afraid. But notice here from verse 16 of the chapter, Obadiah overcomes his fear and he goes and he tells Ahab that he found Elijah. Verse 16, "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah." And by doing so, Obadiah was becoming a very important link in the chain of God's providence and the events surrounding his servant Elijah. Oh, believer, learn here from Obadiah. When you have an opportunity of serving the Lord in some capacity, and God brings that your way, believer, do not let the fear of man hold you back. Do not let the fear of your own weakness prevent you from doing God's will and serving His cause. Rather, you go forward. Go forward depending upon the Lord's grace. Go forward depending upon the Lord's strength. Go forward depending upon the Lord's wisdom. Does not the Bible say that our sufficiency is of God? You think of Asa in the book of 2 Chronicles when he was faced with a great enemy. What did he say in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11? He says to the Lord, "We rest on thee, and in thy name we go." He was going to the battle resting upon the Lord, not in his own strength or his own soldiers. Be like the Apostle Paul, believer, and rest upon the Lord's almighty, the Lord's great sufficient grace. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 9 and verse 10 of this chapter. Paul is giving us a wee insight into his own life. He had a thorn in the flesh. He had prayed about that three times. And Paul was a mighty man of prayer that the Lord would take it from him. But God didn't take it from him. But he gave him a wonderful answer. And as a result of that answer, Paul had a wonderful reassurance and confidence to go on serving the Lord. Verse 9 and verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 12. "And he said unto me," that's the Lord, "my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength." Notice where God's strength is made perfect. Not in our greatness, no, or our ability, no. His strength is made perfect, dear believer, in our weaknesses, in our inabilities, and our inaptitude to do things for the Lord. He says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Why? Because it brings glory to God. Most gladly, Paul says, "Therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities." Paul gloried in his weaknesses. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. He knew that was all important. He says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. His strength was perfected through the strength of the Lord and to the grace of the Lord. He rested upon the grace of God. And believer, in your service for God and going forward with God, you too do the same as Paul. Rest upon the Lord's grace. It was C.T. Studd who said that faith in Jesus laughs at impossibilities. There's a story told about D.L. Moody, one of the first missions that he ever conducted as a young man in London, that as he got up to speak, he stammered repeatedly over his Bible reading. Not being able to read the verse, things were so difficult for me, he closed his Bible on that occasion, and he prayed with deep emotion, "Oh God, use this stammering tongue to preach Christ crucified to these people." And following this, it is said that God's power came upon him, and with great eloquence he preached. Many hearts were melted by the power of God. You see, God's power overcome the weakness of D.L. Moody's constitution. In fact, as Moody went on with his work for God, there was one verse that shone in his heart and his life day by day. It was really his favorite verse, and I read it to you. It's a wonderful verse. The words of Isaiah chapter number 12 and the verse number 2. And this was really his favorite verse to his dying day. What does this wonderful verse say? Isaiah 12, verse 2, he says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." Christian in our meeting, take encouragement from those wonderful words. Follow the example of Obadiah that we've looked at today. And fear the Lord. It's not fashionable today to fear the Lord, but believer, don't worry about the fashion of this world. It comes and it goes. You fear the Lord. Trust the Lord. Serve the Lord. Depend upon the Lord. And in Psalm 71, verse 16, the psalmist says, "I will go," he says, "in the strength of the Lord." Believer, as you seek to serve the Lord until Jesus comes or until Jesus calls you home, may you go forward day by day in the strength of the Lord. We're going to close our meeting this morning.